Yeah, no, you're right. It was pretty daunting, the prospect of involving myself in this franchise that had shaped me as a human being, like so many other people in the world. But I was hired the day before I started filming, literally. They had initially cast another actress who hadn't worked all that extensively before, and she was a bit too young for the role. So anyway, I had been in Australia with my boyfriend just on vacation, and coincidentally, the afternoon I arrived in LA, expecting to only stay here for about 3 days before I returned to New York, I got a frantic call from my agent saying, you know, there's been a crisis on the Terminator set, and they need to recast the role of Kate Brewster, and they'd like you to, you know, step in immediately. So I got the script that evening, read it as quickly as humanly possible, and had to assess it and decide if I was going to commit. But I was so disoriented and jet-lagged, I didn't have it in me to say no. and I'm really glad I made that choice, but it was pretty blind. So I didn't have an opportunity to get too anxious about, you know, participating in the biggest budgeted green-lit picture of all time.
Did you ever think to ask Jonathan or anybody what it was that made them think of you for this? I mean, you're not known for your kick-ass...
No, it's true, I'm not. I'd met with Jonathan a couple of months before, there was this traumatic moment where I got this call where they were actually giving me the offer. So the idea of my somehow, playing this role started to percolate in my mind, and I think his as well. And he'd been familiar with my work, and he thought I was okay. And I guess assumed that I would contribute something valuable. And he had enough imagination to decide to cast me, and I'm very appreciative of that. But yeah, it's not the obvious choice, Claire.
To follow up on Sarah Connor's character was that she was just this everyday woman.
Right.
Pulled into something.
Mm-hmm.
Was that part of the appeal for you, because you just got pulled?
Yeah, no, there was this remarkable symmetry between my experience as an actor and that of the characters. I was totally kidnapped by the Terminator, you know? I liked this Kate person. She's really assertive and responsible and authoritative and decent, and just had all these qualities that I wish I had myself. And and Linda Hamilton's character in T1 and T2 is, you know, famously strong, and I think really influenced the change in people's perceptions of women's capabilities. And that was a neat thing to, I enjoyed carrying that baton in a way, you know? And, it's rare to be in an action movie and not be exploited, because so often the female protagonists are objectified or sexualized, and that really is not the case in this series. And I loved that. I really did. I got to kick ass.
What does it mean to you as a young woman, though, to play, like you said, you're furthering a new kind of female action hero that's not the damsel in distress,
right,
not the sex pot, but actually has a function?
Right. Cool. It sounds so hokey and cliched and ridiculous, but it is a pretty decent role model. She's a professional, and she's capable of loving openly, and she's has a lot of self-respect. Yeah, that was, that's not a bad thing, I guess, you know?
We've seen you hold your own with in dramatic situations where you're, you know, really a heavyweight talent as well as very difficult situations to deal with. What about dealing with the spectacle? We're here, you know, not only is it a matter of trying to create a character, but also you have to be standing in the right place for the explosions
right.
happening and the debris and everything right. else. Is it a different sort of acting, or when it comes down to it, when they say action, is it the same? Because there are things you have to think about that you wouldn't know. You didn't have to think about in the hours.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, I didn't shoot the hours with Meryl Streep. That was all green screened. No, she was actually physically present. Yeah, yes and no, really. I mean, I was reacting to non-existent objects and people often, and that was quite taxing on my imagination, because not only did I have the work of responding to something, but I had to envision it and then respond to it. And I had a huge catalog of screams by the end of the movie. You know, it was like I almost had them filed. You know, saying, oh, you want scream numbers 542? Sure, no problem. But I tried to play it for real. I mean, I didn't want to condescend to the character or the audience in any way, and I would have been bored if I had to abstract this person or turn her into a kind of cartoon. Yeah, I mean, it's an action movie, so it's action oriented, but the acting is called acting because it has to do with action. So, I mean, it was kind of easy to conjure feelings when I was imagining myself in such an extreme circumstance. I mean, it's the apocalypse is impending, and, well, that, you know, it's a lot of material to work with. It's not like I was crying over a hangnail or something. But yeah, it was. But because I was like representing humanity, my character, I had to do quite a bit of emoting. And I remember when I was doing the junket for the hours, I ran into Julianne Moore by the elevators as we were going down to the lobby, and she said, "Oh, how are you? What have you been up to?" And I said, "I just finished shooting Terminator 3." And she said, "Oh, it's good to just run around every once in a while on a film." And she said, "They didn't make you cry, did they?" I said, "They did. They made me cry, run and cry." And she said, "That's not fair. They can't do that." I wasn't just falling down. I was also trying to, you know, assemble a character, create a vaguely authentic person. I don't know.
Well, I have to say, for a long time, I've admired your crying. You're one of the people that took the award. I mean, what are the tricks?
The tricks? Onions are great. No. No, I don't know. Yeah. What are the tricks?
You make it look so easy.
Well, you have to imagine yourself being very sad. And then you get a little bit sad. I mean, really, that's the trick. There's nothing more. It's not more elaborate than that. But yeah. Oh, my first kiss was at a like makeout party when I was 11. We were playing Truth or Dare, and I was a nervous wreck because all of the kids were slightly older, and they had all participated in these parties, attended these parties before, and I hadn't. But I remember it was this guy, Peter, who was from Sweden, and he was really, really cute. So thankfully, you know, he was attractive, but it was terrifying because there were like 15 other people, you know, in a semicircle looking at me while I was trying to appear very experienced, and yeah, so that was my first kiss. It was pretty traumatizing and exhilarating.
Claire, you did that new audition and you got the role of Rose in Titanic.
Uh-huh.
You didn't take it. Can you explain what happened here? I'm wondering, was it you didn't want to go back and be with Leo again and sort of make a run?
Well, yeah, I just made Romeo and Juliet in Mexico City, where the Titanic was shot, for nearly half a year with Leo. And I think it just, I needed to differentiate myself from him a little bit. Imagine if I did Romeo and Juliet and then Titanic with him. I mean, we would just be, I don't know. I just needed some relief, I think, from it. But, I mean, it's a great movie, and I think Kate Winslet was so well suited for it. But I just wasn't prepared to take on that. That responsibility, too, was, I knew it was going to be a massive event film, and I just don't know. I wasn't ready.
You've been on such a roller coaster with Flora Plum. Jody told us in a session like this of all the training that you did,
yeah,
and having to sort of hang it up for a while.
Literally.
Is it back in?
I guess so. I mean, Ewan McGregor is now attached. I've been involved in this project since I was 18. I'm 24 now, you know. It's been really difficult to get the funding. And my hopes were so dashed when I had trained for a month, and then the financing crumbled at the last minute. I had to race back to school, and it was really chaotic and intense. But we'll see. I'm making a movie in London right now, and then I'm making another movie called Shop Girl here in LA shortly thereafter. So I am booked until January, which I can't dwell on because it'll make me insane if I like seriously consider that. But I'd love to do it still. I mean, hopefully I'll still be of an appropriate age when it finally happens. But
what's the movie in London? I'm sorry.
No, I just curious about the train. Did you actually get up there? And I mean, what was it like the first time you swung across?
Well, I was a real circus girl for a while. I trained in the Valley with this guy Richie, who's from Circus Legacy family, and I did the flying trapeze, which is terrifying. The swinging trapeze. Something called the Spanish Web. Do you know about this? It's like, they have it in Cirque du Soleil quite often. There's two pieces of cloth that hang about 50 feet from the air, and you climb them and you tie knots and fall down. And I trained on the trampoline, and it was really demanding. I was very strong at the end of that time. But I have these skills that I hope I get to employ at some point.
Everybody trains with Richie.
They do?
Everybody.
They do.
Who else was in your class, I think?
Oh, it was just me. Just me. But I know he's the Circus of the Stars guy.
He is. What's the movie in London?
It is called Complete Female Stage Beauty, and it's a 17th century English, maybe it's a comedy, but it's quite dramatic in its tone. And Richard Eyre is directing it, who directed Iris a couple of years ago, and is the head of National Theatre in London for 20 years. He's a lovely, very bright man, and it's with Billy Crudup and Tom Wilkinson and Rupert Everett and myself. And it's about the change from when male actors stopped playing female characters and actresses actually started playing them themselves. So I played the first actress of the British stage in 1660-something, and I'm really bad, devoid of talent. So yeah, it's a departure from T3.
Is it tough to play bad?
Is it tough to play bad? Kind of, but it's also sort of a relief. I don't. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
There's a huge video game coming out with this movie. I read somewhere that you spend a lot of time at Yale playing video games, like where you should.
Yeah. No, I played a lot of Mario Tennis. I don't know if you know this game, Mario Tennis. I'm not really a video game aficionado, but it's kind of cool that I'll be in a video game myself. But I'm depicted as a much older woman because it's fast forwarded in time, and So it's quite surreal to see myself pixelated in that way, but as an old woman too. You know, it's particularly strange. Yeah, but I don't think I get to actually play my own character because it's all in first person. Terminator. I didn't know. No.
Speaking of fast forwarding, are you signed on for T4 and 5?
Yeah, I am. I think it's in my contract. But I don't know. This is it's pretty ambiguous, the issue of yet another sequel. I think that will be determined by the audience's reception to this movie, and if they sustain their enthusiasm for, you know, Terminator series, then I guess we will be obliged to produce more. But yeah, it's not within my control at all.
Claire, I asked your co-star this question. If Arnold runs for governor, does he get your vote?
I'm not a California resident, so I wouldn't be able to give him my vote if I wanted to. But, you know, I know Arnold is an actor. I don't know him as a politician. It's not like we hung around the set and discussed his platform. But I support him in whatever he does, so.
You mentioned Shop Girl.
I'm sorry, just talking about your person having to do it for religion.
Yeah. Oh, it never stops being weird. It's so unnerving. Yeah, it's, but it's just a hazard of the job, what can I tell you?
Your boyfriend's a musician, and I was foreign into acting, but it was a little bit of a transition for him to understand what you do, and at times is it tough for you to understand when women are screaming for him on stage?
It's awful. It's awful. It actually, Ben made a movie in Australia about 2 years ago, in which he's the lead. It's called The Rage in Placid Lake, and his character's name is Placid Lake. And he has a kissing scene with our friend, Rose, which sort of helped. In a way, it made it scarier. And he didn't tell me the day that he had this scene. And it was the day before my birthday, and I had gotten food poisoning, and I was throwing up so violently that I had to go to the hospital. And I'd just come home from the hospital, and Ben had, you know, finally confessed that he had just been snogging this other girl all day right before my birthday. And I was like, no! It was just the worst. I felt so betrayed. And, you know, tables were turned, and I didn't handle it all that gracefully. But yeah, poor Ben, really. And it's always a strange, it's a tough question, you know. Should he be on the set? Should he not be on the set? We don't know. We've tried it both ways, and it's just uncomfortable.
Who's it more uncomfortable for if he's on the set, you or him?
Him. But it's not enjoyable for me either, you know. Him. I mean, I know when he had to make out with this other girl, I think I had a rougher time with it than he did.
She seems very assertive. She takes the gun from John.
Yeah.
You know, she's trained as a medical, you know,
she's the bionic woman.
Yeah, is there anything else that we're supposed to know about her or in assembling the character? Were there skills that she just has? I mean, did her dad just train her that well?
I guess so. You know, we have to suspend our disbelief a little bit with this, but she's sort of like a Swiss Army knife, you know? She has one skill, then another. She can fly a plane, she can heal an animal, she can save a life, she can shoot a gun. She's the heroine of the movie for a reason, I guess. But I really, and she's kind of a superhero. I mean, yeah. She is, but the everyday woman turned superhero.
You mentioned this.
The LA audition for Schindler's List, and actually got the part but didn't take it because it wasn't really the school in Miami. I'm just wondering, first of all, is that true? And don't they have to? Isn't he involved in the
Terminator? That is true, and I don't think it is a law. But also, they wouldn't give me the script, so I didn't know what part I would be playing. They kept saying, you know, I'd be the spirit of the movie, the spirit of the movie, which is this euphemism that's often used to make a small role seem much more significant. I was 12 or 13 at the time. I couldn't afford to not be educated in some way or another. It's true.
You mentioned the shot at the back of the truck.
Whoa. Sorry?
Did you get bounced around a bit in the back of the truck during that sequence, or was that all just...
Oh, no. Yeah. Very bounced around for many, 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 many days. I had to take anti-nausea pills because it really threw my equilibrium off. It was awful. The gimbal, you know, made the whole thing, gyrate or something. I was seeing a chiropractor twice a week for a while because my spine was all, you know, misaligned. I definitely made an action movie. It's true. And my body... told me as much.
Claire, the shop girl coming up, and talk a bit about the, is it